don't believe in fairy tales. I guess I've outgrown them. But that doesn't mean I don't believe that there's something bigger than me. 'Cause I've seen it in a hospital room when the doctor said sorry. There's nothing more we can do. Well, it wasn't through. I've never seen a particle at the end of the rainbow. But I've got a promise I can't hold in the middle of the struggle.
On the same day, Marionette Miller.
God, if you said you'll perform it, may not be how I want you to, but here's what I'll do. I'm gonna wait on you. I'm gonna.
Wait on the Lord, come on, let us sing it out, hey. shall walk and not get weary. They shall run and not faint. That's what happens when you wait. Happens when you wait. Be encouraged today. The day that wait on the Lord shall renew, renew their strength. They shall mount up.
I took two things that I love.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome, 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 welcome. I am back in Iowa. Thank God I made it home. We actually decided that we would drive all the way back on Saturday. We were supposed to stop at a hotel halfway, and I looked at my son and I said, can you go the rest of the way, which was another 4.5 hours? He said, let's do it. And we actually got home late on Saturday night. So left here Friday to go to Ohio, stopped in Indiana about 10 o'clock at night, had stayed at a hotel, drove the rest of the way Saturday morning, which is 4 hours, did the event, which is about 2.5 hours, then drove 8.5 hours back to Iowa. And, you know, I got to tell you, what an amazing 2 days. What an amazing 2 days. Folks, the things that God revealed to me on that trip, it wasn't just, you know, not that I should say it wasn't just a contemporary message. It was a message of unity. And I want to tell you what I mean by that. So, when we were there in Ohio, the people that came, some from 4 hours away, the people that came here, or came there, 3, 4, 2 hours away, 1.5 hours away, 5 minutes down the road, do you know that God brought those specific people together for that day? You know me. Anybody who's met me anywhere, rally, event, concert, whatever, you know me. I won't leave until the last person is ready to leave. I will talk to everybody, and I will make time to talk to every single person that drove there, or that flew there, or that walked there, or that rode a bike there, or rode a horse there, whatever. I will stay until the last person. I want to talk to everybody. And some people in my life don't like that. You know, we got to go. No, we'll go when we're done. And there's a reason for that. And that reason is that God brought them there for a reason. I really do look at things like, oh, God did this, God did that, God did this, God did that. I no longer believe that God is not in anything. God's in everything. I used to believe that, well, God's just, you know, God's sitting this one out. I don't believe that anymore. W. Wilson said, Jeremy, how does it feel? Or how did you like meeting Amanda Grace? I didn't even know who that was. A lot of people are like, oh, my Lanta, you met Amanda Grace? I'm like, I didn't even know who that was. That is my point. She's a New Yorker. She was in Ohio. And I didn't even know who Amanda Grace was until after I left. And then after I left, everybody's like, how did you two end up there in the same place? I go, I don't know. I don't even know who she is. Then I found out who she was. And I realized that God brought his people together that day, every day. Just like in Madison Square Garden last night. God brought his people together for a specific reason. And everybody asked me, Jeremy, why aren't you in New York? Why didn't you go to New York? Because God brought me to Ohio. That's why. No, I did not know who she was, God chick. Honest. Had no idea who she was. Not a clue. I literally never even heard her name. When Pete brought her over, he's like, you're never going to guess who you're going to meet. And I'm like, who? He's like, Amanda Grace. I'm like, yeah, who's that? I truly didn't know. And now that I know, let me just tell you this. God brought her together. God brought her, me, and everybody else there together. The Wild Roses. All these great people. Seth. Jeff. Mary. Script Doll. So many amazing, amazing people. Yeah, Lori says, I don't know who Amanda Grace is either. Look her up. Look her up and you'll probably... If you've never seen her, you'll immediately understand why God brought her there that day and brought me there that day. Every one of us is not only a special creation of God, but we are all children of God with special needs. Think about that. We are special needs children. Because our special need is the guidance of the Holy Spirit through the Savior, Jesus Christ, and the mercy and grace that God gives us. That is our special need. Somebody said, if you watch Flyover Conservatives, you'll know her. We have Flyover Conservatives on this network, but I never get a chance to watch because I'm just too busy working throughout the day, so I didn't know. And tomorrow they're having a National Day of Prayer stream, and she said that she would send me the codes and we'd restream it right here. So I should talk to her today. Jeremy, do you watch any other prophets? I don't watch any prophets. I don't really watch Julie Green anymore, because I just don't have the time. I'll have her on in the background sometimes, you know, while I'm getting ready for my morning. But that used to be all the time. I just don't have the time to do it anymore. I wish I did. Trust me. Amanda, I never knew who she was. Elijah Streams, all these people, I know who they are, but I don't listen to them. That is how I know. That's how I know that God is bringing his people together. And that's how I know that those people are his people. Because there's no way. Jeremy, did she know who you were? I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I didn't have much time to talk to her other than when I interviewed her. But what I want to just say, folks, is this. All of those people that were there, all of the LFA family members, myself, Amanda, Pete Santilli, my son, my wonderful, beautiful son, Jaden, we were all there for a reason. That's why I didn't go to New York. God did not tell me to go to Madison Square Garden. Now, I know it was a reunion of patriotic people who have been fighting for the last 4 years. I know it was a MAGA reunion. I get that. And everybody said, Jeremy, you should have been there. And I say, no, God didn't tell me to go there. So I shouldn't have been there. I should have been right where I was. And I'm happy I went. I don't go out a lot as much as I used to. But I'm going to start going out a lot more again. Because I need that. I need to be with God-fearing people that has a connection with me in this show. Kat said, I think it's a good thing because you are on your journey with Jesus. 100%. 100%. S. McDonald said that God sent you where you needed to be. I know that. Not I believe that. I know that. I feel that. I know that. And I had no regrets about not going to New York. You know what I mean? No regrets whatsoever. Because God wanted her and I, for some reason, to meet. I believe, and everybody else that was there too, not just her and I, everybody else that was there too. So, you know, for those who got to go, thank you for being able to make it. For those who watched it on our Rumble channel here, thank you so very much for sharing it. It was a beautiful day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then let's get into today's show. Lord and Heavenly Father, I want to start out today with this great group of people. Lord, first asking for your forgiveness for our fleshly desires and the sins that we commit daily, Lord. We are so incredibly sorry, and we repent of thoughts that we act on, words that we say, and some decisions that we make. But you promise to wash all of those sins away in the blood of Jesus Christ and show us mercy and grace and pour righteousness all over our bodies and souls. Lord, I just want to acknowledge and give all glory to you for bringing your people together in this time of this nation. When we have a choice, a stark choice, which way we can go, one way or we can go the other. Lord, let us go towards you. Whatever your will is, let us go towards you. Let us as a nation, Lord, whichever way, whichever path you have us go, let us as a nation embrace that path and put you first. Because when we put you first, we have no disappointment. We have no fear, and we have no loneliness. No matter what happens on earth, because we've brought heaven to earth, as in the Lord's Prayer. Lord, I pray that this message goes far and wide, as many people, believer and non-believer, need to hear it. And I pray this according to your will, in Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, what a weekend. What a weekend. I'm wrecked. I'm probably not going to work all day today, to be honest with you guys. I'm probably going to head out right after my show, my second show, and probably get some rest. And I apologize for that, but I feel like I've been hit by a Mack truck this morning. Maybe once I get some Field of Greens and Armra in me, maybe I'll be ready to go. But I do feel like, ooh, a little bit tired today. Let's get to today's show, Navigating Rough Waters, okay? Because we've all navigated some pretty rough waters over the last 10 years, right? Navigated some serious rough waters over the last 4 years. And I think we see land. I want you to look at the last 4 years of our lives here in this nation, both spiritually, politically, in every way, really. And I want you to equate the last 4 years with the 40 days and 40 nights that Jesus was in the wilderness. We've been tempted to leave God many times, haven't we? We've been tempted to go against God in the last 4 years, haven't we? Satan has wanted you to believe that God has left you. Them stealing the election in 2020 was not only a Hail Mary move by the Democrats to steal this nation once and for all. It was a Hail Mary move by Satan to get us further away from God. You have to understand that. Satan knew that if he could destroy you in here, leave you with no hope for this nation, for the future of our children, he knew that if he could do that, then he could tear you away from God. He knew that evangelical Christians as a whole don't go vote. And he knew that if he could just rip any hope away from us by doing what he did in 2020, that more and more people would walk away from God, because they would say, God, if you love us, how could you do this to us? And we didn't listen. You know, over the last 4 years, people in my family, my friends, they said, you're crazy. I said, why? They said, look at everything that you put your faith and trust in 2020 and 2022. How'd that work out for you? And I said, that was the problem. What's the problem? I put my faith in people and things in the last two elections. Instead of putting my faith and trust in God and focusing on him, regardless of an outcome, that was the problem. God taught us a lesson. But not only did he teach us a lesson, I think we showed resilience. People said, why don't you just give up already? Clearly your vote doesn't matter. It's not about a vote. It's not about the act of the political stealing of an election. It is about enduring rough times. It is about learning to trust in God to navigate rough waters. That's what it's about. It's not about the earthly things that go away. It's not about the temporary things that'll pass. But so many people had their faith in that, that when that happened, they were destroyed. They didn't know where to look. I can tell you this. Everywhere I go, people tell me, if it wasn't for you, I would have never made it through the election of 2020. I was looking for somewhere to go, someone to listen to, because I had lost hope. A lot of people put that hope and faith and trust in the things that I was saying. But where do you think I was getting it from? I was getting it from up there. And Pete Santilli and I had a long conversation on the phone when I was driving to Columbiana, Ohio this weekend. And we were talking about my time and his time locked up. And I said, Pete, why do you think people like us went through that? People like us went through that because when you have that happen to you, nothing else in the world could ever be ripped away from you ever again. You were at the lowest of the low. And that's who God goes and gets. Because he needs people like that in order to help people who have not had that happen yet. For when the bad times come and the rough waters come, that you can help guide them with the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the mercy and grace of God. Shop Girl said, that's when I found you. I have so many people say, I needed something to help me back then on that day. 4 years later, fast forward 4 years later, we know what it is now. It wasn't me. It wasn't Trump. It wasn't the prophets. It wasn't Amanda Grace. It wasn't Julie Green. It wasn't Elijah Streams. It wasn't anything but God. And Satan tried to separate the last voices of God in this country. The loud voices for God in this country. Lucifer, tried to separate us and say, where were you, God? How dare you? That's what he wanted, and we didn't do it. He tempted us for 40 days, 40 nights, 4 years. I want you to think of that time as a time when we were tempted by Satan to walk away from God, and we said, nope, we'll navigate these waters with Jesus. I want you to think about that time. The 40 days that Moses could see no land in the ark. And then the dove came back, signaling that there was land nearby. And they saw land. You always see those old movies with ships, right? Land ho! I can see land. Can you see the land? Have you been able to navigate these tough waters long enough? Focusing on God and not people, can you see the land? Let's get into this. Here's my notes for today. You ready? And I'm sorry I'm sniffing so much. I'm seeming to, you know, all the traveling and everything, I just stuffed up and going to bed late, waking up early. And so I apologize. I mean, Noah, not Moses. Yeah, I even said Moses. I meant Noah. Noah on the boat, not Moses. But Moses too. 40 years wandering in the wilderness, could not see the promised land. Same thing. Noah, Moses, Jesus, all of them tempted, trying to be torn away from God. Satan trying to use their fear against them and to rip them away from God, and they stayed the course. So today's show obviously is titled Navigating Rough Waters, episode 459. When people face daunting situations, they feel disappointed, frustrated, worried, irritated, angry, alone, etc. It happens to all of us. It's so easy for Satan to exploit these situations. There's a reason why, though. Let's get into this. Most people, when they go through daunting situations, rough waters, their first instinct is to reach back in their past and for their brain to remember how to deal with these situations. And then what happens is Satan worms his way in and tells you to rely on yourself. Rely on what you know what to do. Rely on your past experiences. Build walls. Don't let what happened to you before happen to you again. It's all you. That's what Satan wants to tell you. And what happens then is you place way too much trust in people, even yourself, and not enough trust in God. That's why you are disappointed. That's why you're frustrated. That's why you're angry. That's why you're irritated, lost, and alone. It's because you've placed all of your hope, all of your confidence in the people around you. It's that simple. In your finances, in your own securities and insecurities. But you have failed to put your confidence. You have failed to put all of your hope in the Lord. Because when you do that, when you put all of your hope and your confidence and faith in the Lord, Satan is blocked. It's like a firewall. Can't get through. He can't break through and exploit the situation to ultimately take you further away from God. That's what he wants to do. He wants to put you further away from God than he is. And when you're able to do this, you'll become, well, somewhat like I am, and you look at every bad situation. Oh no, Jeremy, this happened. Oh my Lanta, this happened. Honey, did you hear what? This happened. Bad, 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 bad. Here's what I do. Okay. All right. You just told me all this bad stuff that's happening. Or something horrendous that just happened. What good came out of it? What is another way to look at it than the way that it's being presented to me? Let's say, lately my kids told me that there's some kids at school who got caught for drugs. Okay? Now, right now, there is an epidemic of fentanyl being laced in marijuana, cocaine, pills, even alcohol in a pill form being dissolved in alcohol. And my kids told me about these kids that got caught at school the other day with laced drugs. Now, I would be willing to bet those kids that had those drugs at school didn't even know they were laced. I'd be willing to bet that they were just selling them or keeping them for themselves or going to do them or do them with their friends or whatever. And they got them from somebody else and they're laced. And the cops had to come and take the kids out of the school and everything. Come to find out, those drugs were laced with fentanyl. I think it was just weed, maybe some pills or something. I don't remember exactly. But when I heard about this, the first thing that I thought of was, thank God. Thank the Lord Almighty that those kids got caught and arrested. Why? Because they're not dead. Because they're not dead. So every time I hear something that's bad, my brain immediately goes to, okay, what is the good in this situation? What was learned? What could be learned? What was avoided? I look at everything glass half full. It's just who I am now. I don't have any pessimistic thoughts. I don't have any negative, like, notions or ideas or it's all gone. I only look at things through the eyes of positivity. What could be, what we learned, where can we go from here? I'm a problem solver that looks at things at the positive. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not aware of the negative. I'm very much aware of the negative. But the fact is, those kids got caught and reprimanded, and they're alive. And it might teach them a lesson. Coming from somebody who's had two people in their family in recent years die from fentanyl, I can tell you those kids more than likely would have died. Somebody would have died. That is why everything and everyone seems to let you down and leave you broken, burnt out, fearful. Because the people, the places, and the things around us cannot provide for us the things that only God can. If you put your hope, your faith, your trust, and all of your belief in any man, and that includes Donald Trump, you will be disappointed. But when you put all of that and say, you know what, God, you got this. You got this. Whatever it is. You can only get the good things that the Lord has to give you. And the Lord gives you nothing bad. The Lord only gives you good when you put your faith in Him. That's it. People, places, things, situations, earthly things, worldly things, they cannot provide true security. Never have, never will. Chariots and horses fail. The power and the strength of man falls. But those who trust in the Lord will not be disappointed. Because they share a knowledge that non-believers don't know where or how to find. That's why it's up to you to bring it to them. That's called sharing the gospel. We know how to feel safe. We know how to feel secure. We know how to feel protected. We know how to feel loved. We know how to feel guided. We know how to feel strong. We know how to feel fearless. We know where to find love for self and for others, no matter what they do to us. And we know where to find understanding, wisdom, and knowledge for whatever it is that we are going through. And whatever it is that God has us going through, we understand that it is a blessing, not a curse. We understand everything that people pay big money to psychiatrists to try to figure out. That is so valuable. You can't put a price on it. It's worth all the money in the world times infinity. When you're facing a rough decision, when you're trying to figure, oh, what am I going to do about this? How am I going to pay this bill? God shows up if you want Him to. If you don't, other people show up and they leave you broken and disappointed every single time. Every single time. Now, I'm going to put my headphones on here. I saved some stuff here I would like to show you. Or at least read to you, I guess. Check this out. The greatest test of faith is when things don't go your way and you are still able to say, thank you, God. It takes immense bravery to continue to walk with God in faith when life hurts and things don't make sense. You just keep trusting in Him. God, I'm thanking you before it even happens. Type stuff. You know what I mean? Obedience to God may sometimes require you to disappoint the expectations of others. Every day you have a choice. You can believe that God is in control, or you can stay worried and expect the worst. When I desperately want to know why something is hard and why something is happening, I remember Jesus had all the answers and he still wept. That's the word of the day today. And all of those people that came out with me the other day, every single one of them had a story about their lives, about losing children, about losing husbands, about being broke, about feeling alone in their lives at some point. But guess what? When I asked everybody, and you probably saw this on camera, I said to everybody, I said, does anybody here feel anxious, nervous, or scared? Or does everybody here feel excited and ready? And people started cheering. Here we were, 10 days out of the most important earthly election that will turn our country one way or the other. And you want to know something? Everybody that was there said they were excited for this 10 days to be over. And I even asked them, no matter what happens, and they said, no matter what happens, we are excited. How can that many people be excited for something to happen in 10 days that could possibly bring us right back to 4 years ago? There's a chance, right? There's a chance in everything. And I'll tell you why. Philippians 4:13. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And when that moment happened, when I said to everybody, do you feel scared, nervous, anxious, or excited? And everybody cheered, and everybody said, we feel excited. Do you think they were feeling excited because they were putting their hope and faith in Trump? No. They were putting all of their hope and faith in Christ, and they were excited about the situation, thanking God for his will before it even happens. That's why. And I felt goosebumps immediately that day. I said, Lord, we're here. People are waking up and turning towards you, and they don't care what happens. I mean, obviously, earthly, worldly cares. We care what happens. But ultimately, we are excited for God's blessings before they even happen. And I felt so strong in that moment, so courageous in that moment, so fearless when we did that. Now, I know it's supposed to be Comfort Monday, but Ray Comfort doesn't have a new video out over the weekend. Nicholas Bowling, however, does. So we're going to move on from Ray today and go to Nicholas. However, I want to just say this to you. Life gets a lot better when you realize you're not the main character. In 2020, I felt we had a lot of people that thought that they were the main character of the story. Thought that the story in the world revolved around them and their feelings on that night. And I believe over the last 4 years, we have figured out that we are not the main character in the story. And neither is Donald Trump. Neither is Elon Musk or Joe Rogan. The main character of the story is Jesus of Nazareth. And life gets a lot better when you realize that. Amen? All right, ladies and gentlemen. Nicholas Bowling going to America's largest gay pride festival. Talk about courage.
With what looked like a massive army. We began by walking around and simply talking to people about Jesus. We had some good conversations where people let us pray for them, and we came across various ex-Christians who cussed us out and even got aggressive. After that, we headed to a busy street corner where a few gay bars were hosting after parties and began to open-air preach. Although there were numerous hecklers making unimaginable remarks, and some religious hypocrites, including one who got physical with me, the gospel went forth and someone even got saved. Make sure to like, subscribe, and click the notification bell.
I'm not a subscriber of YouTube, so we still get commercials, but those are over now. Back to Nicholas Bowling.
The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. So we first see God is the first word of that verse, John 3:16. So God, he's the one who created the heavens, the earth, each and every person. God is real. God exists. And it says right after that, God so loved the world.
It also says that God loves everybody.
Oh, period.
That's exactly what I was saying. God so loved the world. Yeah. He loves everyone, and he desires for everyone to be with him for all of eternity, and that's why he sent Jesus to come. But it says that those who don't believe in him will perish, which means they'll be separated from him forever. So not just because God loves people will they go to heaven.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Happy Pride.
Yay! So not just because God loves someone will they go to heaven. Like she's saying, she said God loves everyone, which is true. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him will receive everlasting life. But he who does not believe will actually perish. So there's a part that we play in this, and it has to do with believing. You see, each and every one of us, we're going to depart from the earth someday. And when you do depart from the earth, he desires for you to come and be with him. You see, when Jesus, when he was departing from the earth, we don't see him going straight to be with the Father, but actually we see Jesus being kidnapped in the middle of the night.
You're Jesus. You're Jesus.
Jesus loves you.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does. Jesus cares about you. That's why he died for you on the cross. What do you think about Jesus? What do you think about Jesus? Hey, watch your head. What do you think about Jesus?
You want me to give me an honest answer? You ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready for it.
Candid.
Don't fight.
You ready
for this?
You don't have to fight. Jesus loves you. I'm not. I'm just having a conversation. We can have a conversation. You want to have a conversation? We can go for it. What's going on? What's wrong with Jesus? Why do you say F Jesus?
You ready? I grew up Catholic. Jesus didn't give me a chance. Do you understand that?
What do you mean Jesus didn't give you a chance?
None of y'all who believed in Jesus gave me a chance. None of y'all.
Jesus is God giving you a chance. Because if you'll believe in Jesus, whoever will call upon him will be saved.
My rejection in the Christ gave me the chance to become Jesus, is who I became to become myself. That's it. Jesus gave me the opportunity to become myself. Y'all reject all this shit, but Jesus did become the one who gave me the chance to become myself. So y'all all reject all of this? Nah, Jesus did give me the chance. Y'all all reject, but Jesus gave me the chance.
Yeah, Jesus gave you the chance to what?
So much pain.
What Jesus gave you the chance? Become you?
To become me.
What do you
mean? So much pain.
Become the person I already was, who Jesus let me become, who I am.
So, yeah, hey, hold up. There's cars.
Let me see the mic.
What's up?
Let me see the mic. Let me tell you something.
Is that Kevin Hart?
You're doing this right now for clickbait.
You can say that, but
you're a fraud.
You don't know that. You can say that.
Wally wears a cross on his neck.
If you want to. Listen, the reason I'm out here is because lots of people don't know God. They don't know of his love. Lots of people don't know about Jesus. And lots of people, everyone does. There's a lot of people who say they don't even believe in God.
God knows us.
So not everyone knows about God.
God knows me.
God knows you.
And he loves
Maybe.
Me.
I don't
he
know.
He loves me. Right or wrong.
Right or wrong. He loves you, but if we sin, then we're separating ourselves from God.
You sin in other ways. Goodbye.
Jesus died for my sins. And the Holy Spirit helps me to put sin to death. So, no, I'm not still walking in sin. There's a difference between an accidental sin and then someone who's practicing sin. The Bible says that those who are practicing sin don't know God, that they haven't known him. If they say they know him, then they're actually lying. But practicing, if you think about what that actually is, if you're practicing basketball or practicing a sport or practicing dance, it's not something that you're accidentally doing, but it's something that you're intentionally doing, even to get better at. You know what you're doing and you keep on doing it to get better at it. So therefore, people who are practicing sin, the Bible says that they really don't know God, because if you knew how loving he was, if you knew how good he was, if you knew why Jesus died for you on the cross and that it's the greatest love that's ever been demonstrated, then you would turn away from the sin and you would turn away from any hatred. You would turn away from things that God says are contrary to his will because you realize how good he is. You realize how loving he is. And you desire to love him in return. He's got authority and dominion and power over each and everything, over each and every person. And the Bible says that Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead. Jesus loves you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. So Jesus, he's the judge of the living and the dead, and each and every person, when the end of your life comes, is going to stand before Jesus. Well, you can say that, but that doesn't change the fact that you will. Each and every person, they're going to stand before Jesus, and we're going to give an account for our lives. But listen, the reason that Jesus died on that cross is so that you don't have to be judged guilty. Jesus died on that cross so that you don't have to receive the punishment of your sins. He was taking the punishment of your sins, the debt that you deserve and I deserve. Jesus was taking that upon himself so you could be free from sin. You could be free from wrath. You could be free from debt. That's why Jesus did it, because he loves you and because he cares about you. And this is what the Bible says: in order to receive the mercy of God, in order to receive that punishment, that sin being removed away from you, the way that you do that is first by listening to his voice. So you listen to the very things that Jesus spoke when he walked the earth, even the red letters that are written in the scriptures. Many people, they want to question the validity of the scriptures, question the validity of the Bible. But if you've believed any other piece of history ever about any other person who has lived, then it would make a lot more sense for you to believe that Jesus was a real person that walked the earth, that he was a man of many signs, wonders, and miracles took place.
Was people loving each other, though?
Oh, yeah, Jesus loved everybody.
So he loved gay people, too?
He loves gay people. But the sin separates them from him and will lead to an eternal separation from him. But that's why he died on the cross, so that those people could come to know him, so that they're not eternally separated from him.
When Marionette Miller Meeks voted to
So while that commercial is going on here real quick, I'm only going to play like another minute of this. Actually, you know what? This might be a good time to say, let's just stop this and we'll start it tomorrow, because I want you to see the rest of this video. So what we're going to do is we're just going to kind of pause it for tomorrow and we're going to pick it back up tomorrow. But one thing that I can tell you is that what I see there, I used to watch these and I used to get super defensive. I used to be like, oh, if I was there, I'd say this or I'd say that. But what I see now is pain. I see pain and torment. You could hear people screaming, shut up, stop talking, stop doing that, stop speaking. Just the name of Jesus, the words of Jesus are enough to cast demons out. Or at least expose them. Because they can't help but to run. Like Kittenhead said, they could just walk across the crosswalk and leave. They don't have to stop and say anything, but they feel compelled because they know they're guilty. And when you see that much pain, it hurts that so many people are going through that much pain where they feel like they've got to put all of their everything, all their trust, hope, you know, security in other people and in other things on this earth and not God. And when you can do that, you feel peace. Ask my sister. My sister, Crystal, probably feels more peace than she's ever felt in her entire life. Now, we're getting ready to end the show today. Julie Green's husband, Chris, just messaged me and said, great show today. We need to get some lunch today. Yeah, we do. Chris, yes, we do. And we need to bring the wives this time, right? But I want you guys to remember this message today, okay? Because nothing should be able to take you away from God. Nothing. Okay? All right. I love you guys. God bless you. Have a great morning. I'll see you at 11. Stay tuned for Mike Crispy Unafraid next. Have a great morning. I'm going to wait on you, Lord. I love you. See you later, guys. I love you too.